show, and here we are, worldwide live on BBS Radio. Thank you, BBS. And we have the phone lines open. We had a few more people come in here in the last few minutes. We welcome you all, and please say your name and location.
Vaughn from North Hollywood. Hello, everybody.
Good evening, Vaughn. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
I'm still watching my emails. I think we have room for a couple questions tonight.
Oh, good.
But, you know, it's good when you guys don't have any questions, you know? That's really a good sign, because that means you're getting your questions answered inwardly.
Room for a healing session for a sea serpent?
Mm-hmm. Say that again?
I said you have room for a healing session for a sea serpent with a cold?
A question for a sea serpent with a cold?
No, not a question, a healing.
Healing question.
Healing request.
Healing request. We'll throw it in. Write it out. We'll throw it in, okay?
Yeah.
Will you email it, Cecil?
Huh?
Will you email it?
Yeah.
Got it, Win.
Question, but it's got to go. You know, you guys that are sending emails, don't just respond to the email. You got to send it as per the instructions, which is questions@intelligent-infinity.com. Because, you know, I search that, and that's the only way I find questions. If they go another way, I try to keep track of it, but sometimes they get lost. And that makes it easy for me if they come in to questions@intelligent-infinity.com. And welcome, everybody.
We welcome you all. If you want to, please say your name and location.
Hey, it's Chris in Memphis.
Good evening, Chris. Thank you for being here.
Yeah, what's up, guys? Thank you.
Going to Chicago.
Hello, Joel. Welcome to the call.
Hi, Joel.
How are you doing, Wynn?
Carola in Medicine Hat.
Good
Alberta.
Evening, Papa.
Carola, do I have anything left hanging with you?
What's that?
Was I supposed to send you anything? Or answer an email?
Oh, I don't know, because I haven't had email for a week.
Oh, well, that's a good sign.
I haven't looked at the email.
Hey, all her questions have been answered.
That's right. I agree with everything.
Did I hear Marilyn from Pennsylvania?
You did, hi.
All right, thank you for being here, Marilyn.
Hi, it's Jim in Sedona. I hope you're well.
Hello, Jim. How are you doing?
How are you, my dear friend?
Doing fantastic. Thank you for being here.
So we don't have any.
Thank you for saying that.
You know, Jim, I have to get you another headset. You know that?
What's that, Wynn?
I have to get you another mouthpiece for your phone.
Oh, it's the phone, not to me, though.
No, not for you. You're already a good enough mouthpiece. but
it didn't,
you know, your voice is
I'm not calling with the headpiece. I'm calling on the 850 number because I couldn't get through to you on the headpiece with Skype. Skype didn't work for me.
You're using the portable phone, right?
That's correct. That's correct. The unit in.
Okay. All right. And it's Terry here.
I have not heard Terry yet. All right. Good evening, Terry.
Hey.
She's there.
Yeah.
All right. Hang on just a second. What I gotta do is I gotta see the questions that have come in here.
How do they start?
Hello.
We have a good question about the stock market. Hi, Dennis. Are you there, Dennis? You're probably listening on the internet. Hi, Dennis. I don't want to say your last name. It's going to sound like... starts with a D. Ding something. Okay? And Terry's here, and she's not ready. We have some really good questions tonight. And hi, Margaret. I'm going to ask your question. Margaret in New Zealand. You're probably listening on the internet, and you're in the queue for this evening. At least one of the questions. Anybody new on the line today? Say first
in on the internet. A question.
What's that?
And that way it doesn't.
There's background noise. You two get rid of it.
I think that's Michael talking.
I think so too, but it's not related to the call.
Okay.
You might ask the other side.
Well, let's listen to Michael. We'll just broadcast him around the world. And I hope he keeps it clean. All right? All right. Let's see here. Hayes is not doing his production job tonight. Are you at a hockey game?
No, I'm. My computer's in for repair.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. All right. You know, I wanted to tell you guys something. Before we start, I should stop the recording. I want to put this on the recording. Just a moment.
I'll see you later. Thank you.
I'll see you too later. What is that?
A secret date.
God knows what we're going to hear from people. when we leave the mics open. Let's see here. Here's the recording button.
This conference is being recorded. Muted.
All right. I'm going to ask this once more, because we're doing a test, and after we do this test, I'll probably charge a little bit for this, but let me just say this is August 28th, 2013, and this is our Wednesday night question and answer call, and what I was going to tell you, here's my little experiment. As most of you have discovered, it's really hard to talk about this to someone. And when you do, it's really hard finding the words that make them interested. And even myself, you know, I'll be somewhere and talking to a stranger and I'll bring it up. But Terry knows. She's watched me do this. And I'm really good at talking about it, and I'll make an introduction to somebody and give them the website, but they never show up. So there are certain people that are like hungry beyond belief for the work we're doing, and for most people, a lot of people, their reality system would be so confronted by this that their consciousness automatically excludes them. And some of those people might get interested, and suddenly there's loads of people talking about us. You know, people work their reality system by, how can I say it, who recommends something. Like at one point, if Oprah said something, it would actually change a lot of people's reality systems, at least to be open to it, because they were open to Oprah. But today there are so many things impacting people that you just become another little impact on the horizon, and you seem the same as anyone else, oftentimes. And yet, it's really important to develop local community for everybody, for your own benefit, not for my benefit, but for your benefit. And it's not easy to develop local community, particularly when you're working on the kind of energies we're learning to work with on this line, and also with the kind of information we're working with. So I'm doing a little test, and I spent quite some time, and I designed this really cute little business card with a thumb on it and rainbows coming off of the thumb, okay? And I printed some up, and I'm going to send some out to those of you that ask. And I said, well, how is somebody going to use these cards? Well, one way is just to keep some in your pocket or in your wallet or in a little card holder. I ordered some card holders so they can keep fresh. One of the things I've learned, in spite of myself, because, you know, my own nature is not to make things refined, that when things have rough edges, you can trust someone who comes through the rough edges. And when it's too refined, it might attract the wrong people. But nonetheless, I made these business cards really look good. And on the backside, there's an invitation to the Sunday conference call. And on the front side, there's this thumb with the rainbows coming out of it with the website, intelligent-infinity. And so I was thinking, how would you use these cards? And I've already used them myself. I was going to tell this story on Sunday. I was at Michael Tillinger's talk, and as I was leaving, there was this woman, maybe I told this story, I can't remember, this woman at the door, standing there, and she looked really angelic and really passionate. And I said, I think I'm supposed to give you one of these cards. And so I handed it to her, and she was passing out flyers for some ascension event. And I said, hey, I should be a speaker there. And I said, you should tell whoever's coordinating it to contact me. And so she said, what's your name? And I said, Wynn. And she looks at me and says, Wynn 3? And I said, yeah. And she said, oh, my God, oh, my God. She was really excited. And she said, my mother told me to move to Sedona because she listens to your conference calls, and that's why I'm here. And I picked that woman out of the crowd and handed her a card. And I've done that lots of times, made a random decision. But having something to give somebody to do puts you in a position to be in random positions and do something. Like, you know, I'll pass somebody, and I know they're a wanderer, and I could feel their alienation. And I could pull that card out and hand it to them and say, you know, you might get a lot out of this. Check it out. And I could go to where they give free newspapers out, or the laundromat, and put some cards and sprinkle them around. And the idea is if you do it enough, and who knows what enough is, but if you do it enough, somebody's going to end up on the call who is in your city. And there'll be opportunity to make a connection. and it'll be the beginning of a community. So if any of you want some of these cards, because I want to see how this works, just email me and say, Wynn, send me some cards, and I'll send you some. And then after a while, we'll sell them for like a couple hundred for $5 or something like that. And they're very nice. And it's kind of like if you like set them down somewhere, it's kind of, you can bless where you're setting them. You can bring in the light. You can bring in the energy. You do it right, you'll carry that energy with you. So when you hand the card to somebody, you'll transfer that energy, and you won't try to explain something to them. And if it's a friend of yours and they ask you, just say, you just got to check out the website. It's really amazing. You know, just leave it mysterious so they're curious. And this is a way to get people to reach back. So if you're interested, send me an email that has thumb in the subject line, THUMB. So that way, and your address on the email. And that way I can find it easily. And on that note, I think we can start our call. Let me see if we got any last-minute questions in here. So I don't get distracted. Let's see. Joel, I got your questions. Let me just paste that in here. All right. While I'm doing that, we can move. A little promotion, you know, we're doing Terry and I are doing a Saturday workshop, and I got a feeling Carla's going to be there as well. And it'll be like this call, you know, the same, well, it won't be exactly like this call, but it'll be somewhat like it. But, the thing is we will have a lot more time to go into depth on questions and even work with you on questions. Of course, that depends on how many people show up. And let's see here. David, I got your question. David in Mesa. And let me see, Margaret. Margaret is now sent me, reworked her question, and I got that, and I think we're ready to start. Oh, God, let's see here. Margaret Highland from New Zealand. I got to tell you, sometimes I'm going to read this to you. Auckland, New Zealand. My friend Jillian is from Auckland. She was from Christchurch, excuse me. You know, at one point when I was like really trying to figure out how to reach people, you know, it took me a long time to start getting any traction at all about where do you start with this stuff. And there was an Edgar Cayce forum, and I decided I was going to join that forum and tell them about the book. And I will tell you, I got so much adversarial response from the people on that forum, and I, you know, convinced that David was a fake and this and that. And finally, I said, here, I'll share a song. And I think I put one of my songs on the forum. And I think my worst person on the forum in being adversarial with me was Margaret. And I was so delighted to find her on these calls. Hi, Margaret. And it's kind of shows that even when you're not getting an instant response or what you thought you wanted in a given moment, you know, it's like you're planting seeds. And I have really learned that because I've watched how some, you know, saying hello to someone 3 years ago and suddenly I meet them again and someone argues with me and then I meet them again and they hear about me somewhere else and they took another look at what we're doing. You know, sometimes if somebody knows me, like the human side of me, it's very hard for them, actually harder to look at the work we're doing. And I've learned that. Sometimes it's just, forget it. I'm not even going to talk about it. Because on some level, I think they think if they look at it, I'm going to go on an ego trip because we know them. I know them personally. So it's better to just nurture the personal relationship. That's why so many of you, you know, that if you try to talk about this to someone, it can be so difficult. And you kind of got to be sneaky. That rule of the Rod Loop, which make them reach, make them curious, is like really a key. Make them reach, make them curious. And don't get involved in trying to explain it because it's too linear. All right. On that note.
And then we also have the healing request for Cecil.
Right. Thank you, Cecil. For his cold. Okay. I typed it in, so we got it. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of light to surround and protect everyone here, and any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light, transmuted to the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us, and we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present?
This is Ra'an, 28th of August, 2013. And we look over planet Earth, and we send calming to the area of Syria, and we see that there is disruption. We send calming and hope to bypass disruption. However, we are a free will agency, so we can only place the vision of peaceful solution in the choices that those involved may choose. We make connection with each and every person on the line that wishes to be connected with or each and every person who will look at a transcript later or listen to a replay or is on BBS. And we find this a sacred moment in time that there is this ability for connection, an opportunity. Do you have questions?
Yes. Yeah, let's start out with Margaret Highland in Auckland, New Zealand. And she asks, has my guide who contacted me in 1999 during sleep and guided me on a specific course for 14 years, a path that changed my life completely, has my guide now left me permanently? And is this future life he spoke of for me, if I put in the hard work needed, now defunct?
Thank you.
And maybe I can ask the question. I hope Margaret won't mind. But I would ask the question, why did my guide stop communicating with me? I hope that's okay, Margaret. Okay?
We see that your true path, the path which you are on under your own power or would be ideal for you to progress forward under your own power and under your own creativity, as you can look to your own track for which you wish to create, and anything you truly wish to create is not defunct. And to move forward under your own power, looking at your own goals, your own objectives, is the one that will bring you fulfillment on your path. So we suggest looking for what your own goals are, looking back over the 14 years and seeing what you have done has been accomplished that is on your own path that has brought you fulfillment or held promise of fulfillment.
Thank you. You know, I'd like to make a comment, and this is a general comment, not necessarily related to Margaret's particular situation, but there are a lot of beings on the other side in the astral that may not really be more advanced than you or I. Maybe some of them are less advanced, and they're on the astral, and they can get stuck there. And they really like to find someone down here to connect with, and to make the connection enduring, they may act smarter than they are, or they may keep you hooked into a certain line of advice. And if you have a guide that's like that, if you hear voices in your head, then love that being, but don't give up your power to them. Just because something comes through a channeling or through a phenomenal circumstance does not mean it is higher or better than you. And if it is, then there should be wisdom attached to it. You know, you can tell when there's wisdom because if someone says, here's something to try, this is something that worked for me, and then you do it, and it works for you, you know that that was wise advice. You can validate it. You don't have to worry where it's coming from. Even on these calls, whether I say it, whether Terry says it, whether the Elohim say it, whether Carla says it, the only thing that matters is that are there things come through that you are able to apply to your life and cause something to change that was a stumbling stone? Or are there energies present that make you feel a sense of self-love that was hard to come by? So don't ever give your power up to a channel voice. Doesn't matter who they are or how high they say they are. It means look for wisdom, look for guidance you can apply. And things like future predictions might be a really good indication that you've got an astral being on the other side. You know, there's this idea that things are meant to be or things are supposed to happen. And in a certain universe, that's true, because there's all these trajectories that have been created, and those trajectories anchor into the ethers, and they do bring about certain things to occur that are part of the trajectory. But no one has to be bound by any trajectory, because simply by creating an intent and a vision, you can create a new trajectory. You can create a trajectory from scratch. I mean, all the stuff we're doing now was not meant to happen. It happened because there was a trajectory created, and that now you all are part of the trajectory, and we're having a group trajectory, and there's no way that anyone could have predicted this would occur. It happened through a bunch of happenstance synchronicities falling over the place, and me saying, maybe this is important to people, and then hammering myself against incredible odds so someone found it important, and then two people found it important, and having to go through all the people that didn't find it important and hold the vision. And if I didn't do that, it wouldn't be happening. I can see that. So each of you can create a trajectory. And you start out creating a trajectory by creating a vision, by creating a goal, and creating a plan. And be willing to change your plan immediately when you get the indications that it's not working. And that's another problem because you know, you can decide this is the way I want it to be, but the way you want it to be is not in your highest flow. And that means that you're operating from your mind and not necessarily from your heart. Because when you're operating from your heart, you attract things to you in a magical, synchronistic way. When you're operating in your mind, you don't. Next question here
We have a further comment concerning the guide. The guide's attention has turned for the time being to something else. We do not know if the guide will return full time. However, there will be times when the guide will check back in on you. This is a good opportunity for getting your feet solidly on your own path and evaluating what of what you have done is in total alignment with where you're going and your goals, and then of continuing on with the things that are on your path and are with your own goals.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Was what I said in general kind of accurate? Not not applying it to Margaret, but the fact that there are beings in the astral that actually get codependent with beings in the physical in a guide relationship?
That is true, although guides in general have the desire to assist the person that they are with.
Okay. Thank you. Now, this is from Dennis, and he talks about money exchange. Money and bartering is to exchange energy. It is said that not only greed, but also giving service advice without asking something for it creates imbalance. Energy, he has WRT, I don't know what that means, but creates unbalanced energy exchange. For a long time, I was under the impression that spiritual service should cost nothing, no matter what. But to ask something for the favor, be it small, exchanges energy indeed. Now my question is, must the energy exchange follow a closed loop? In other words, too much or too less is asked for a service. Does energy escape and create unbalance? Okay, so what Dennis is asking there is what I'm, at least the way I'm getting it, is that energy, what is the exchange of money in relationship to things which are of service? How should that work? Is it a precise thing where if you don't ask enough, it's out of balance? Or if you ask too much, it's out of balance? Or what's the guideline for charging for spiritual work and spiritual contribution to another? Thank you.
Thank you. We suggest it beyond the exchange of money, which is only a poor representative of energy, that there is the true energy of the heartfelt thanks, of the connection between people, of the communication. And by putting in an exchange, by contributing something, you are communicating. Also by communicating with words and by your own comments, by volunteering, by assisting in ways that you can become more directly connected with the give and take. By going to an old age home and working with the clients, you get direct feedback, direct thanks, direct joy in the look of the faces of the people you're visiting. Those are our comments. We do not see that setting up exact measurements and exact limits is the will provide a good representation of the energy. It is more the energy of connection, the energy that is changed between people, and money is merely a poor token of that.
Thank you. This is from Dave in Mesa. If the economy is collapsing, and something assumably is arising to take its place, he asks, what kind of abundance should we ask for, monetary, physical, and spiritual? And you know what? I know a lot of people are thinking that, and they're thinking, how do I prepare if that should happen? And, you know, my own little comment, and this is easier said than done, is build community. Get to know your neighbors. You know, figure out a way that's not fear-based to create a connection with your neighbors so that if things fall apart, is a group of people that are all supporting each other instead of stealing each other's vegetables. And let me turn it over to our sources and have them answer, give their answer. Thank you.
Thank you. If and when this happens, and it could be a gradual thing, where things get harder and harder, so people are having to find new ways of bringing in money, in some cases, working 2-3 jobs, or in other ways of coping with that. There are other things that could work by being set up in parallel with what is already going on, so that the individuals that wish to begin in small communities all over begin to exchange perhaps one free room a night at the motel and return for providing the motel with the donuts and coffee in the morning. Some start of building of community, of inviting people over to the home for a potluck once a month, to begin to build community. Oftentimes, when a person is ill, they go to the hospital, and the relatives come and all meet. They use that as an opportunity, and they begin to build shirt up, not from the fact that the person that they love is sick, but from the fact that all of the people now are coming together. So situations of people coming together can help as a seed to find ways that they can support each other if and when things get very tough for them.
Thank you. Joel asked the question. I think that's Joel in Chicago. If we have come into the world having decided to do a particular thing, our agreement, if you will, does man walk through life as destiny wills? I think he means bound by that agreement. Or does free will make malleable change in our destiny, and which takes priority? Okay, so he's saying, if you had came in and embodied yourself to do something particular, and can we change that? And of course, if we wanted to change it, I would ask the question, how?
Thank you. When one comes in, one has a general idea of what kind of a life or some goals that they might wish to accomplish, or how they may wish to express their creativity. And then they have a set of agreements they go through. One of them is the commitment to the body. It's like a contract with the body that they will continue to stay with the body and operate with the body until the cessation of the body function, at which point their contract with the body then can end, although they may stay around and watch the body and to make sure that it is taken care of, and then they can leave once they feel that the body is secured, and once they know and can readjust to life beyond the body. So when individuals come in, they take on a series of contracts. Now, they may have a totally solid contract, or it may be more loose. A contract can be changed. However, very often, depending upon the grip which the individual holds the outcome, the goal, the thing that they are working for, the thing that they want to accomplish, the degree which they hold that tightly and hang on to it, can determine whether or not they will change it because they are under the control of it. However, sometimes when an individual comes in, they may make a contract to be there for a certain period of time to experience a sickness and then to leave due to the death in the sickness. They may have a contract to go in and experience that. But then when they get there, they might, for example, find other circumstances that make them wish to change the contract, such as falling in love with their wife and not wishing to leave their wife, and then may change their contract. They may get the sickness, and they may face death, but then they may say, hey, wait a minute, I want to stick around longer, and they can change it and stick around longer. Or they might say, all right, I'm going to totally change this, and then to change their whole paradigm. And so it is possible to change it, and the grip with which they hang on to the goal that they set when they came in or before they came in has a lot to do with their outcome.
Thank you. Next question. This is from Don Herman. Are the planets really held in place by perfect balance between gravity and momentum, or is it more of a standing wave force or something else? So why don't we just ask the question, could you explain gravity to us in a way that our little minds might at least partially understand it?
There is huge traction. When you have an object, the magnitude of planet Earth, there is huge attraction to the surface, molecule to molecule, and it is this attraction that holds the one to the other, the objects to the other. When you have the solar system and you have the planets perfectly balanced and each having some attraction to the other, then this balances it within certain parameters, and it tends to hold that balance. The moon has a certain attraction for the sea, and therefore the water has tides based upon the nearness and the fullness, the cycles of the moon in relationship to the Earth. It also has an effect on human beings, such as the full moon will dislodge the balance that certain people have within their minds and can tend to start things that have been at perfect balance, to unbalance them, and the people can begin to act out. The planetary influences upon people also can create zones that the individuals then can react to and begin to act out. It is a very simple explanation we have given, And we do not go into complexities here.
Thank you. Margaret sent an email from New Zealand and said, thanks for that question, Terry. Geez, isn't it late in New Zealand? I think it's late. Hi, Margaret. You're staying up late. Now, Margaret asked a question. I'll ask this, Margaret, since we're on the track of your experience. And you asked, could you ask if he was a high guide, not channeled, only in sleep and dreams, and a well-known figure? You know, it's like, you know how we don't take inventory of other people? Like, you can't ask, could you tell me something about Jack? It's been my experience that oftentimes, when we ask about anything that's on the other side, whether it's a guide or whether it's the negative or the Orions, I don't even want to say their name, but, you know, we'll bring in the energy of it. And so it's kind of like it might violate privacy and the free will of your guide to take his inventory here. But I'll ask the question. We'll see what they say. Did you ask if he was a high guide, a well-known figure? It identified itself to her as a well-known figure.
Thank you. I can ask for judgments to judge whether the guide is high or low, or has more knowledge or less knowledge. We do not judge him as, or rank him. We say that many of the things that he was presenting were very good and were opening up interest to other people, which also put him in the limelight for people who are interested. So there's these areas of opening where he was on board, on key. He is searching, and he is, in his own manner, bringing the truth. And he has his certain area of expertise that he is growing and working in. That's our comments.
Thank you. Now, let's see. I think we can fit in one more question here. Let's see. We have a healing request for Cecil, sometimes known as Cecil Sea Serpent. And and we can all take a healing request for ourselves and just bring the energy in to our bodies. And you know what? I didn't ask my lead question yet, so let me ask it. Why do we need sleep? How is it all the universe designed so a human has to sleep 8 or 8 hours a day? What happens during sleep?
Thank you. It is designed that the body, which uses energy and taxes the energy system in the sleep cycle, can rebuild and replenish, can reestablish the area within the pituitary, can build the negative ions, can recuperate, can recover, can build the reserves of energy back up in the thymus, can use the time of sleep to reestablish the proper harmony between the thyroid and the thymus and the glands. It is necessary during these areas of time for a normal body to reestablish. There have been some that were able to reestablish in their own life by using systems that are not exactly the same. For instance, eating less food and of reestablishing with piranha from the surroundings during their waking cycle can recharge their bodies without the sleep cycle. Another reason for sleep is that with the mind at rest, the individual psyche can heal and recover its energy for the next day and can receive help from its surroundings, from the higher realms in the sleep cycle that can help reestablish its energy level and can also give ideas to the mind of this person asleep to the dream state. For instance, an inventor may be able to, during sleep cycles, to explore other areas outside of his body and to bring back in answers to his questions on how to invent certain things. So there is availability for the human person to reestablish and to grow during the sleep hours.
Great. Okay. Well, I thank you very much. Let me see. There was a question here. I think I can answer it. Let me see. Juan, you asked about when you open your DNA, does that help your family? When you open your DNA, when you start radiating energy into your environment, then it helps everyone that comes in contact with your field. And people that are open to you, even more so. I mean, somebody can block energy, so you can have a great radiation of energy, but somebody may have too many blocks to let it in. But a lot of people, particularly right now, will feel that energy, and yes, it will help them. And on how to open up your DNA more quickly, it's one of the things we're going to talk about on Saturday. And many of you are doing a great job. And keep in mind that there is this thing called the dark night of the soul, where when you really commit to your own evolution, you usually go through a period where things get worse before they get better. And you got to hold through it long enough until it shifts. And that's how all the negative stuff works itself through you. It doesn't go away. It works through you and releases. So it might come in as anger. It might come in as hurt. In any case, we got to get off. We're going too long. BBS is ready to do their next show. So thanks all for being here. And the next time we'll be on Saturday. We'll see some of you on Saturday morning. And I did send a thing today on it. And I say goodbye for our sources, because otherwise we're going to get cut off. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you, Terry. And thanks, everyone who's volunteering. And we'll see you next time.
Unmuted.
You're unmuted.
Thanks, Wynn.
Thank you, Wynn. Thank you.
Thank you, Terry. Thank you, Wynn.
Thank you, Terry.
Thank you very much.
Your conference recording has stopped.